Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Molly and Hall, live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Yes, we sit here now in the middle of July, not knowing where you're going to be at the end of July. How do you keep your concentration through all that?
Honestly, I feel like moving around all these positions really helps me. I mean, it's a new thing every day, and I'm just, you know, trying to focus on that day. And, you know, right now I still got the Cubs in my chest, and I'm proud of that. And I'm proud to play for such an unbelievable city, and until they tell me I'm not, I'll go out there and give it all I got.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our thanks to the fine folks at Fox for that clip. It was, of course, Chris Bryant mic'd up speaking to Joe Buck. And David, you complimented Joe Buck on his great work. I believe you called him the MVP yesterday. We argued about it, but it was all in good fun. Mike Bryant called him something else. The father of Chris Bryant, not as enthused about Joe Buck's performance because he felt it was inappropriate in that particular moment to be asking Chris about his impending departure. Is that the way we're looking at it?
I saw that. And I like Mike Bryant and have had a good rapport with him over the years and still have. Parents are always entitled to speak out on behalf of their children, especially when he's a superstar like Chris Bryant is. But I think that I didn't find it rude or invasive or intrusive at all. I think that when you are of the caliber of athlete that Chris Bryant is and you are at an all-star game and you agree to be mic'd up, you've got to anticipate what's going on. And those questions will come up. You know why? Because they came up all day Monday. They came up all day Monday, and this is the topic du jour if you are a Chicago Cub all-star on a national stage.
Yeah, I really don't understand, frankly, why you'd be upset about that. Does Chris not know? It's nothing that he isn't aware of. It's nothing that he hasn't spoken of before. And, you know, look, that's the biggest story connected to the Cubs right now. It's the one we're talking about this morning, the who comes and who goes story. And I don't know how you could possibly interview a guy and not bring that element up. I think it would be a discredit to your occupation, frankly. And I get it. It's all about entertainment and you're trying to have like a normal conversation with a guy, but goodness gracious, I had no problem with that whatsoever. I thought it was a fair comment, and I thought Chris handled it effortlessly.
And what we're talking about is Mike Bryant told Evan Altman of Cubs Insider, Evan Altman, fellow North Jetson native, by the way.
Really? Quote, there's two of you in the whole town?
Absolutely. Yes. Quote, I simply cannot express my disappointment at Joe Buck asking my son about his future with the Cubs while he was playing left field in the All-Star game. This was a classless act and has no place in the game. I'm so glad I was at the game and not watching it. End of quote from Mike Bryant. I just think that this sounds like, you know, maybe he's overreacting to the point where this is creating a lot of pressure, not knowing what's next for his son, not knowing what's next for the Cubs and Chris Bryant, because I thought Joe Buck did what any broadcaster in that situation would do. He fulfilled his professional obligation. And had he not covered it, Mully, what would we be saying? We'd be like, well, boy, isn't it weird that he didn't ask him about the elephant in the room? Because that's what everybody wants to know.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, David. I think that it would have been a real letdown if Joe Buck hadn't had the kind of cojones to ask the question that was necessary in that moment. And as much as it is entertainment and a game and fun and games, that question is on everyone's mind. And it was, I thought it was an appropriate venue. And I thought Chris handled it like a guy that has answered that question quite often and had absolutely no, seemingly no problem with it and looked really good doing it, frankly.
That's my focus. That's where my head went. I think I even tweeted out Chris Bryant's highlight of the game. Now, he did, you know, have two at-bats and he stranded five runners. But his highlight of the game was when he handled himself as well as he did. Live mic, left field, being asked questions about, number one, the losing streak, which is tough to talk about, but he did. Number two, his future, which was tough to talk about, but he did. And he didn't seem bothered at all or surprised. That's the other thing. Did he seem like he was being ambushed by this topic? Not at all. No. I feel like you're Chris Bryant. You understand the terrain. You understand your job. And like I said, I am not going to sit here and criticize a parent for sticking up for his child. But I just feel like Mike Bryant might be overreacting a little bit when you look at, you know, Joe Buck was not trying to be anything other than do his job.
Yeah, I thought it was a fair comment all the way around. And, you know, look, I'm not trying to lighten the load that Chris Bryant has on his shoulders, because in the midst of everything that has been happening, he's dealing with the fact that the team that he's been with for his entire career either doesn't want him back or hasn't figured out how to get him back, or, you know, I don't know that there are any negotiations going on or whatever. I mean, I don't know how it wears on Chris, but he sure wears it well. He does not, you don't get the sense that, oh God, look what they've done to Chris Bryant, he's a nervous wreck. I don't get that sense even remotely.
I don't either. He's very honest. I think he was quoted after the game, again, when this came up, talking about the difficulty in realizing that you're one phone call away from having to pack a suitcase and leave for a new team in a new town and not know the specifics about how long you're going to be there, where your family's going to join you, all these kind of logistical things that we take for granted when we're not in that seat. But he's handled himself as well as could have been expected for anybody who is in this situation. And Mully, it isn't that the Cubs don't want him. It really isn't that the Cubs don't feel like they may even need him. It's that they want to maximize the value that he represents. And so that's when it becomes a business transaction. And that's a hard thing to look at, because you could argue both sides, but they're open for business. And Chris Bryant, let's hope they, you know, I think when I say that, it's almost like out of habit. Let's hope they can figure out a way to keep him in Chicago, because I think it's wildly unrealistic at this point that they're going to be able to do that.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to me because, you know, the more you talk to people and the more you think about where the Cubs are at, it seems as if Craig Kimbrell is by a mile the most valuable piece for another team to come hunting for. If indeed the Cubs are out of the race, if they have made the decision that they're going to listen to all the phone calls, I think that Chris Bryant, you know, that him going to the Mets is probably still on the table because it was something that was discussed in the offseason. But I think that Craig Kimbrell is the guy that is bringing in all the phone calls at this point. And I also think that there's nothing wrong with trading Craig Kimbrell at this point. There's not the same connection here. It's almost like, thank God he got good enough that you can get something out of him over the 3 years he was here.
There's not the emotional attachment to Craig Kimbrell that there is to Chris Bryant or Javi Baez or Anthony Rizzo. There's no doubt about that. And I think so, two things here. Number one, with Kimbrell, you look at teams that are in the hunt, in the mix. Typically, those are teams that probably they feel pretty good about their everyday lineup. They feel pretty good about guys who have stepped forward to have pretty decent seasons to put them in that situation. But they might feel like they're one closer shy of taking that next step, or one relief pitcher shy. And that's where Craig Kimbrel comes in, being easier to acquire than a guy like Chris Bryant, because the price might be higher for Bryant. And also, you're able to plug in Craig Kimbrel, a closer, into the equation easier than you do for a team that might not have those holes in the position in your everyday lineup. So you look at who does that eliminate, and who does that maybe put to the top of the line. Mully, I'd be surprised if Craig Kimbrel or Jed Hoyer's not having conversations this week or has already had them with the San Francisco Giants and the Toronto Blue Jays. When you look at teams that really could look at a closer and justify giving up the prospects, the young pitching prospects, I think, would be ideal for the Cubs. But the Giants and the Blue Jays make a lot of sense for Craig Kimbrel if they do go down that road and he is the first guy to go.
Yeah, here's the thing, David, and I'm like you, we are waiting to see what happens and what order it happens, etc. Do you have any feel? Do you have any understanding of how vast this will be, or do you expect it to be less than you imagine? I mean, you know, there's a lot of players that have contracts that are expiring. Do you expect a giant sellout? Do you think that there's going to be a sell-off, a point where everyone is traded, or do you think it's one guy, two guys? Like, I don't see Rizzo, Baez, Bryant traded right now.
I think the morning after the declaration last week, I think we talked about it. We played the game of is he going or is he staying, and I think caught up in that a little bit. You know, when you make a prediction the morning after, I think I said – I could see them trading Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo. I think even had Brizzo closing down for business. Craig Kimbrel's the most obvious place to start. Wouldn't shock me if all three end up going, Mully. I do think there's a commitment level there by the Cubs to do whatever's necessary to try to, you know, get back in return what you can while you can. Rizzo, I think, of the three is going to be the most difficult to deal. I guess I would think that, yeah, with each day that passes, you do wonder if that's a bit ambitious and if this will be more conversation, more activity than accomplishment, if you will, because of the way we'll talk about the trade possibilities rather than actually making a deal. Because I think that, you know, when you talk about Bryant, the Cubs are going to act for a lot that I just don't know if teams are going to want to step up based on the first week of rumors that you haven't really heard many rumors that have emerged. And maybe that's an indication that there's not going to be as much activity as we might expect.
All right. 312-644-6767. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com.
The BetQL network's available nationwide on the Odyssey mobile app and website, over 10,000 home and auto-connected devices, and BetQLnetwork.com.
Let's start with Jack. Jack's on the road. Good morning, Jack.
Hey, good morning. All right. Cub fan, and I am ready for some young, hungry talent on the field instead of excuses, plane rides, schedules. I'm tired of it. And I think a lot of Cub fans are. And I don't mean to speak for other people. I am so ready for some young, energetic talent. Number one, if they're going to trade these guys, and they are, some of them, whatever, Jason Hayward's got to be part of the package. Sorry, I said it. Him and his 120 average, you know, that's what I mean. We just need something different. That's it. Thanks, guys.
Well, now you sound like Wilson Contreras there, and I'm making that up. He wasn't specific about Hayward. Here's the thing. Isn't he like a 5-10 guy? Can you include him in a deal? I'm all for it. Don't get me wrong, but wouldn't he have to go along with it? Hey, guess what, Jason?
Yeah.
I know you got that great boat, but we've decided to trade you and somebody else to the Baltimore Orioles. Why don't you get the boat over there? What do you think?
Well, I think that with due respect, he's not hitting 120. He is hitting 211. So I guess for the sake of accuracy.
Really?
Yes, he's
fantastic.
Hitting 211.
How much do you weigh?
Is he hitting his weight? I think that's probably pretty close, don't you think?
And yeah, I think he's right there. Yeah.
No, he's probably about 225, 230. He's listed at 240. Wow. Wow. So if he hits his weight, he's going to go on a hot streak. Mully, the thing about Jason Hayward approving a trade is a good point to make, but he's not going to a bad team if they're able to trade him. He's going to a contender as part of a bigger package, and as the sort of fine print, must take Hayward too, right? So if we're going to give you Kimbrell, maybe we'd throw in Jason Hayward. If you want Kimbrell badly enough, you'll split the salary for Hayward, and you'll take him off our hands. I think the Cubs would probably accept that for, you know, just to rid themselves of a guy that has overstayed his welcome in Chicago, perhaps.
Wow, that is that's harsh. I mean,
is that harsh?
Do you forget about the meeting? No, it's not harsh at all. Jason Hayward, he's not carrying his load. He is not the guy that has put this team on his back. He's not hitting his weight. He's been awful. I don't know what else to say about it. He's the only thing he's good at is getting money, and that's not his fault. They gave him the contract. I get all of the fine print when we talk about Jason Hayward, but that it's just not there. And if you know, why is Jason Hayward in the everyday lineup? Why is he always in the lineup? Because of the money he makes. Has nothing to do with his performance on the field.
Before we get to a break and we get to the pick six, and we'll get back to this, but in the week that has transpired since Jed Hoyer talked about the Cubs being sellers, among the trade rumors that you've seen sort of considered, I want to know what people think about this as we continue this conversation. 312-644-6767, even after we talked to Biggs at 640. If trading Chris Bryant for the best possible package of prospects is important to you, and the Milwaukee Brewers are the team that offers you the best batch of prospects, do you think, number one, you would be okay with that as a Cub fan? And number two, do you think that Jed Hoyer would do that if that were the best option available to him, trade him to a Brewers team that could use some stability and in their everyday lineup and certainly, you know, plays in a park where Chris Bryant knows pretty well and would be very good in that ballpark?
Wow. Wow. I mean, You just stopped the show there, David. That was a showstopper of an idea. We'll get to it. We've got the pick six next. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Who looks more like Manager of the Year this morning, David Ross or Tony La Russa? What is it that separates them at this point in their careers?
Experience, I suppose. That would probably be the biggest difference. I mean, I think we forget that David Ross is still kind of learning his job, still figuring out what he's doing. That's not an insult. That's just meant to be a statement of fact. So it's hard for me to sit here this morning not knowing how Rossi is going to figure out exactly what needs doing here and say that he's by far the better manager over Tony La Russa. I think La Russa, you know, the old hand has kind of right now looks pretty good. He looks like he's figured out how to connect with his team. They're obviously a very good group, and they don't have some of the same issues that the Cubs are going through, and I think we might have expected that they would, given the injuries and all the rest of it. So right now, this morning, as we evaluate the jobs both guys have done, I would say that Tony La Russa is winning right now.
Absolutely true. I mean, we're sitting here in mid-July, and as the White Sox get ready to get back in action Friday with the Astros coming to town, you're going to have a matchup of two teams that expect to be there in October and a matchup between two managers in Dusty Baker and Tony La Russa, who are, again, like the two favorites probably for American League Manager of the Year. I mean, who else has had a better season than the guys in first place in their respective divisions in their first years on the job? Or you look at, I guess in Dusty's case, you know, obviously the shortened season changed everything, but he has done a lot there, and you got to give him credit. But Tony La Russa has done a better job than David Ross, because look at the team, look at the 19 games over 500. David Ross has pushed a lot of the right buttons. He's learning on the job. He still has yet to have one full season under his belt. So it is, the experience obviously is the biggest difference. And a lot of times, not a lot of times, but enough times, it has shown that David Ross, you know, just lacks a little bit of experience. And once he gets it, he's going to be a heck of a manager.
A pick six to end the half!
Are the White Sox still waiting for guys like Jose Abreu and Yoan Moncada to take over the offensive load? Is that your biggest expectation for the second half of the season? Are you surprised the White Sox have been able to compete without either guy taking over?
I don't know that that's my biggest expectation for the second half of the season. I think the question maybe overlooks the fact that Moncada, for a while, was pretty productive. Maybe not as much as some people would want, but you know, he ran into a few injury issues, but he wasn't having a bad offensive season. Abreu maybe is the one who you look at and you expected more from the reigning MVP. But both of those guys, I think, are going to be steady and reliable in the second half. I wonder if my biggest expectation would be for more along the lines of Aloy to come in and make a major impact in the middle of that order. I guess if I have one thing that I would expect, it wouldn't be Moncada and Abreu to step forward in a bigger way. It would be that Aloy is going to be healthy, hit homers, and be in the middle of that lineup as the designated hitter.
Yeah, you know, I think it's I think I'm disappointed that we haven't seen this sort of takeover that I anticipated. And I don't mean that, you know, they haven't done everything I want them to do. But I do think that there's more there. I remember periods of time last year when Abreu, en route to his MVP, was just exceptional, was just unbelievable. Remember that series against the Cubs? It's hard not to think about moments like that, especially since, you know, that's one thing we really haven't seen yet. We've seen different guys come up and help out for different portions of the season, and you've managed to get through it, and you don't know who is the long-term answer. You're not positive. You know, a good one. Look how good he looks right now. Is he going to look that good if he plays every day and you see all, you know, are his numbers going to even out? But I think that you could argue, and again, I'm not trying to be mean, but you could argue that those two guys have underperformed.
A pick six of 100 yards!
Who is the White Sox player who disappointed you in the first half of the season but is most likely to contribute in the second half? And who is the same player for the Cubs?
I think this is an interesting one because I think that the Cubs is an easier answer. I think that the guy is probably Anthony Rizzo and is probably due to his back, and I want him to be healthy and prove his value again. And I think that it's an important contract year for him. So, again, that it's not like he's been the worst player, but I think that you have higher expectations for different players based on the back of the baseball card or whatever it might be. With the White Sox, it's a little bit more complicated because they've done a lot better than you imagine they would. I'm going to go with Giolito, though, again, because of the expectation level. I want him to be the star of this team, the star of stars, and I haven't seen that. So that causes me to kind of name him as the guy I want. I just want my best players to be my best players.
With the White Sox, and this probably is unfair, but we are fans at heart, and so we have expectations that are our own. But Garrett Crochet is somebody I came into the season, and in my mind, at times when we talked about him, it was Kopech and Crochet, right? And there was, to me, this sort of expectation that he was going to be as lights out from the left side as Michael Kopech is from the right side. And he has struggled, and it's easy to forget when we see glimpses of him, as we did last year, just how young he is and how he's been a professional baseball player for a little over a year. But he's so good that you expect so much more, and I think that I've been a little disappointed with his consistency, even though I think at one point in the, you know, he'll get it, and I think he's still going to be a big part of this team for years to come. I guess I would like to see more consistency in the second half from Garrett Crochet. With the Cubs, to me, it's an easy one. Ian Happ has got to be better. He's a former first-round draft pick that has, you know, they've invested a lot of hope in, And he has just got to be more consistent before you start to wonder about his future.
Pick six!
In a pre-All-Star Game news conference, MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred suggested baseball will eliminate seven-inning doubleheaders and extra-inning games beginning with a runner on second base. Manfred also sounded likely to impose a rule eliminating the shift, even if this was a part of posturing before CBA negotiations get serious. Which of the three tweaks is most worth keeping?
I think that you should keep the seven-inning doubleheader. I feel like that is in the name of preserving arms and arm health and pitchers. And so does it create some oddities, some idiosyncrasies? Perhaps. But I think that we can all get past that. And for the people that can't, I just don't understand why you on one hand are worried about pitcher's health and the other hand objecting to this idea. So I like the seven-inning doubleheader, the pace of play and all those. So I think that is the most worth keeping. I would put the runner on first base, not second base moving forward. And I'm okay with the abolishing the shift, eliminating that by requiring two players on each side of second base. So, but of the three things, I think the seven-inning doubleheader should be something they should reconsider and keep here forever.
I don't mind that. I don't mind the doubleheader. I don't mind it. I mean, I understand when people complain when you try to separate the games and then you're not getting your money's worth, whatever it might be. But you know, if you get to go to 14 innings instead of the other way around, I'm all for it. I think that's not a bad idea in any kind of venue. But you know, this is so much posturing. I really have a hard time believing anything that we hear from the commissioner at this point. I wonder about that. I think the shift is worth looking at. I think that's a real baseball conversation that people ought to have. And I hope that it ends up that way. But I must say, I think a lot of this is just so much nonsense, posturing, unbelievable, complete bull that it's hard for me to get on board with even talking about it. I don't trust whatever the commissioner has to say about the way the game ought to change.
Can you believe this? Pick six!
In a statement released through the Panthers, former Blackhawks coach Joel Quenneville said he learned of the allegations of sexual abuse against ex-video coach Brad Aldridge in 2020, quote, through the media earlier this summer, unquote. The Hawks fired Aldridge after the 2010 season. How plausible is it that Coach Q didn't know about the ugly allegations which are believed to have led to his dismissal by the Hawks?
Yeah, the dismissal of the video coach. You know, I want a thorough investigation done, and I really need to know who knew what when, and I'd like to know why. I mean, what possibly could anyone have thought that allowed this sort of behavior to just go unpunished or passed over or uninvestigated? Ridding yourself of the problem just passes the problem on. And I think I understand that the Blackhawks care about their image, but it's never looked worse. So I you know, it's hard for me to sit here and say that Coach Q knew and he's lying about it. I don't know that, but I want a thorough investigation as to who knew what when.
And I think a thorough independent investigation would make everybody feel better. I think that the problem here is that, as we have pointed out before, when the Hawks are paying for this investigation, you wonder about its validity, which is why some people have been reluctant to cooperate in terms of the terms. Look, Joel Quenneville he was one of the typical coaches, controlled every aspect of the hockey operations. I don't know if he was very involved with Brad Aldridge, the video coach. I don't know the extent of their relationship. I think that people need to find out exactly if that's plausible or not, because we don't know on the surface. That was a direct denial, though, by Joel Quenneville in a statement that he didn't hear about these things until this year, this summer, which seems hard to believe, hard to accept. But I'm not going to call Joel Quenneville a liar based on the fact that we have known him to be otherwise. But there's a lot of answers that we don't know, and this investigation would be best if it were independent, because you become skeptical when it's not, for obvious reasons.
That is a pick six!
Are you excited or depressed at the idea of paying $92 a night to stay in Scottie Pippen's Highland Park property and watch the Olympics? Are you a big Airbnb guy? Great opportunity for the basketball fan in your life, or already sold out?
What is going on here? What is going on?
Can you believe that story? Can you believe that story?
$92? Is that it? $92? I mean, why is he doing this for $92 a night? And he's got the picture of him with the gold, and I don't understand. It seems a degree of desperation here. It seems a little bit, or come on. I mean, what is there? Also free Excedrin in case you get a migraine in Scotty's medicine cabinet. I just think that you have to look at this like, why is he doing this? And is he that hard up for money? And no, I wouldn't go. Would you go? I wouldn't go.
You know, I'm not a big Airbnb guy, and that's part of the problem. I'm not against Airbnb, but my brother had one of these places where they showed up, and there were a bunch of dudes that were really drunk and wouldn't leave, and the owners are trying to get them out because they want to switch it over, and they're all jet lagged, and they're trying to get into this place, and it just was a disaster. And then you got to play the heavy and start moving people out, and it's just hard to do. That's the only reason that I haven't really gone Airbnb crazy. I've had a good experience with it as well. No, I'm not going to stay in somebody's home for the Olympics. I think it's super cool that there is a basketball court there, and apparently there's like a little movie theater, but it's only like a two-bedroom house. You could only get like can you throw a party? Can you have 70 of your closest friends come over to Scotty's house and blow
it out? Why is it $92? Why not more?
David, it's so cheap. It must be a very small home. And maybe that was like a starter home that he got into. I have no idea. But there's people that would do it just to be in Pippen's house. It's kind of crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't understand the motivation here, because he can't be making a ton of money. So why would you want to open your house to strangers for that if you're Scottie Pippen?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's kind of depressing, frankly. But there you go. It's in the news. All right, we're going to get to Biggs time. We'll ask Brad Biggs, what the hell's going on with Allen Robinson? Are they already replacing him? Is this his final year? Or could this be just the beginning of the end? We'll talk to Biggsy next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station, and of course a valued friend. And Biggsy joins us on the Home Run In hotline. Try your pizza on the grill this summer. Visit homerunin.com for unique grilling recipes and more. Biggsy!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, it is, I guess it's another one of those watershed moments where nothing's going to happen with the contract extension, the imaginary extension for Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson, we don't know what the long-term future is, but we know that it's probably going to mean that he plays on the $17.88 million franchise tag next year.
Yeah, and if no one expects a deal to be done before the 3 p.m. deadline today. And so if Allen Robinson plays on the franchise tag this season, I think chances are greater than not he enters the open market come March. I think it would be a little bit of an upset if the Bears decided to double down with the franchise tag on Allen and go that route for a second consecutive year. So understanding that, he probably enters free agency in March. What's going to be the best thing for the Bears this season? another 100 catches from Allen Robinson, more than 1,200 yards, hopefully 8, 10, maybe a few more touchdowns than that production in the red zone. The kind of season that'll get Allen handsomely rewarded in free agency, but certainly help the Bears in their quarterback's situation along the way.
Brad, you know the arrangement, and you know the situation as well as anybody. There's been some unconfirmed reports or talk or speculation that the Bears were willing to go up to as much as $20 million per season for Allen Robinson. Do you think that's accurate, and do you think he'd be worth it?
Well, it's hard to say, because the guys who really push the envelope when it comes to contracts, okay, are the guys that are on the open market, and Allen hasn't gotten there yet. So would he be worth $20 million? I think he's just as good as Keenan Allen. I think if you're gonna look at the numbers and say, what's Keenan Allen worth to the LA Chargers, and they're paying him $20 million a year, well, I think statistically, Allen's the same guy for the Bears, maybe more valuable for the Bears. You could probably put that case together. But if Allen thinks he needs more than that, you know, it's an interesting situation, because Ryan Pace deserves credit for doing a good job of getting all these key players that we've seen over the last 5-6 years extended. He's been able to accomplish that. Well, nobody's going to bat 1,000. It takes two sides to get a deal done. And, here we are with a Bears player that's going to enter the season playing on the tag, the first one since a guy at the same position, Alshon Jeffrey, right?
Yeah.
That worked out great. So that means if you sign Allen Robinson next year, you win the Super Bowl. I just wonder, as I think about the kind of wide receiver room, a lot of new faces. We know there were disappointments with some of the guys coming back. We're not sure what that means or how the whole thing will flush out. Are they hoping for some kind of breakthrough from Anthony Miller? Are they expecting Darnell Mooney to take another step? What is the long-term prognosis? I mean, if you don't sign Allen Robinson, there are some real good guys in the free agent market a year from now. There always are. And that would free up a ton of money to do a lot of different things. Is that their thinking?
Well, I think you'd rather have Allen, because you've got a stand-up guy in the community, stand-up guy in the locker room, a guy who, you know, what's the most important thing for a player? It's availability. Well, he's been available for the Bears, and he's been productive every time he's been available. You haven't heard him say peep about the quarterback situation for 3 years, when a lot of other wide receivers would have stepped up and said that. What are they looking for? Yeah, I think they're really banking on Darnell Mooney taking a step forward. Can Darnell Mooney come close to being a number one type wide receiver? I'd have to see a lot more from him in order to start thinking that could really take place. Are they expecting a breakthrough from Anthony Miller? I sure hope not, because I think they'd be setting themselves up for disappointment this season. Let's recall back to after the 2017 season, down at the combine, Ryan Pace said that he felt that the wide receiver position was one that you could rebuild pretty quickly. That's after they had a terrible season throwing the football to guys like Dontrell Inman, Kendall Wright. I mean, Josh Bellamy was one of their kind of main cogs at wide receiver that season. It was terrible. So what do they do to rebuild that thing in a hurry? They paid Allen Robinson. That's really worked out well for them. They paid Taylor Gabriel. They paid Taylor Gabriel a lot of money, like north of $6 million a year. Waste of money. Didn't work out so well. And they traded up to draft Anthony Miller, who had an intriguing rookie season and has consistently been a disappointment since then. So that was their effort to rebuild the position on the fly, in a hurry. They got a really good player in Allen Robinson, and the rest of it kind of mixed bag.
Brad, for me, the context of the entire conversation with Robinson changed when they drafted Justin Fields. Before, I wasn't so sure, and I was maybe on the fence and maybe even against the idea of investing that long-term in a wide receiver when you had so many other issues going on, and maybe to some degree that some of those things still exist. But I do wonder, I mean, if you're Matt Nagy and now you finally got your quarterback that you can, you know, run your offense, and can you really take the Bears and consider them an offensive-driven football team and organization if they are stopping short of paying a top 10 wide receiver what the going rate is?
I think that's a fair point, and it may be a good reason why wherever Allen Robinson's number has been at, he's just stood firm, right? Like, hey, you got this quarterback, looks like a good player. You know what my number is. You know, why would he move off of his number? The one thing with Allen Robinson's game that I think you wonder about, and again, I've got a ton of respect for the production that he's had since he arrived. He's been nothing but their best offensive player for three seasons. But the thing you wonder about in terms of fit in the offense, maybe, is the speed a little bit? Is that something that has led the team potentially to hesitate a little bit in going above and beyond? Because the Bears have shown, guys, they've overpaid plenty of guys over the years, right? There are we could go on from now and tell near the end of the show and talk in depth on some of these guys that they've grossly overpaid. And so why wouldn't you overpay your guy who is A plus in the community, right? And A plus in the locker room, and you know, an A on the field for you as well, A plus on the field. Why wouldn't you overpay that guy? That's kind of a little bit puzzling, but it's where we're at right now. It'll be interesting to hear what Allen says the next time that he speaks on it. You know, but I'm sure Ryan Pace probably won't say a whole lot, because anything that involves contracts, he usually doesn't touch. They'll probably tell us how much they love Allen Robinson. But reality is, he's probably going to be a free agent in March of 2022, guys.
Well, Brad, you understand he can't really talk about that. You understand that it's very sensitive this time of year. Every time the guy speaks, he's telling you he can't answer a question. So here's the question, Brad. How good is this team? You know, we're not far away from the start of training camp. Do you have to see them gathered and eyeball them to know if they're any good? Do you think they'll be in the – and I'm going to start with low expectations. Top half of the league, top 15, let's say. Never mind top 10, top 5.
I think if they can answer a couple questions, they're in the top half of the league. But they've got to be able to answer them, and I think that's got to start with, you know, do they have a left tackle on the roster?
Right.
And can they reverse that slide that defense had in the second half of last season, guys? That wasn't a blip on the radar. That wasn't, yeah, you know, they had a couple bad games one month, or that wasn't, geez, did you see the list of teams they ran into in that little stretch? That was a bad second half of the season for that defense. So if they can show that they've reversed that, prove that they've got a left tackle on the roster, top half of the league with some of the named players on that roster, I think that's certainly doable.
Okay, great stuff, Bigsy. I mean, you know, you're so right about the left tackle. The cornerback position,
you know,
Richard Sherman's not walking through that door.
Wow. Oh, no. Mully.
No, he's not. Serious.
I can't believe he went there, Dave.
Yeah.
I can't either.
You know, I loved Richard Sherman. I really valued him as a player, and I loved talking to him, and now
this
happens.
I hope he gets his life straightened out quickly.
I agree. Yeah,
really get headed in the right direction. But, yeah, corner's an issue. Can they get the pass rush going? You know, there are going to be a ton of non-quarterback storylines when they get going, and yet the quarterback ones are probably what everyone is going to want to hear about and read about, and what ultimately will define the future of the organization and the future of a lot of people in the organization.
Thanks,
Greg.
Great
stuff, Biggsy. Yep. See ya.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs, the football man from the Chicago Tribune. That Richard Sherman story was so disturbing. And Biggsy's right. I hope he gets his life together. I honestly can't believe that happened. And it's, it disgusts me. Any kind of anything like that just is very offensive.
Troubling to see, hard to hear the 911 call. Oh, from his wife and the family. And it is difficult moving forward, Mully. I think we have to revisit some of these things we talked about with Brad, though, when we come back. Is Allen Robinson a top 5 or a top 10 wide receiver in your book? And what does that mean in terms of the Bears and what they're willing or have been unwilling to pay him?
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.